invited to Celebrate with Amy. Join the party as we gather creative tips and fun tricks for your next event. Come on in, grab a glass, and let's celebrate. Have a day, party people. Thanks for joining me on episode 14. I'm your host, Amy Hernandez, owner of Immersive Events. In this episode, we're going to talk about how this hardworking woman went from planning her own wedding to opening up her own wedding planning business, Simply Elegant by Diana. She started the hustle from planning events for free to hitting a six-figure business. That's so freaking dope. Diana Dorsey is a certified wedding planner from the Bay Area and also recently moved to Las Vegas, where she'll be growing her business. What I love about Diana is she is a mother of three, a wife, and a truly hardworking boss. Even during this pandemic, she's figured out how she can work with what she's got. I didn't even know her personally prior to interviewing her. I just saw her hustle online and had to interview her, so here we are. So thank you, Diana, for joining us. Let's go ahead and meet Diana Dorsey of Simply Elegant by Diana.
Hi, Amy.
How are you doing?
I'm great. I am just very excited to be a part of your show and to see you virtually here. I'm very excited.
Yay. So before we dive in, tell us a little bit about yourself and how long you've been in the event business.
Sure. Yeah. So I am Diana Dorsey. I'm the owner of Simply Elegant by Diana. I've been in the wedding industry for 9 years. And I've been doing this full time for the past 4 years. 4 years? 2018, sorry, 3 years. Time's going by so fast for me.
And how many weddings do you do a year?
Usually we do 30 to 50 weddings a year.
Wow. All based in the Bay Area or?
Mm-hmm. All based in the Bay Area. That's where my business is originally, you know, where it was established. And I recently relocated to Las Vegas in the middle of the whole coronavirus thing.
Uh-huh.
We've been in Vegas since April 6th. And now I'm working on building my business here.
That's a good place for the events industry too, though.
Yes, they do a lot of events here.
Tell us a fun fact about yourself.
Okay, so I love to dance. In my other dream job or my passion would be to be a dancer and like doing competitions and being on TV dancing. You know, when I was in college, I was studying ballroom. So tango and waltz and...
How fun. Yeah, I dance hip hop. So I love dancing too. And I was teaching kids how to dance and stuff too when I was in college. That was my side hustle.
Yeah. That's so funny that you say that. You know, when I was 15 years old, I was teaching waltzes for quinceañera events.
Oh, nice. I was teaching waltz for debuts. So that's the Filipino when you turn 18.
Oh my God. Look at that. That's so cool. Yeah. That's so cool. Yeah. I was 15. I did that for several years. And, you know, I didn't even realize I was already like in the event industry, right? Like,
no.
It's so funny. Choreographing, coordinating, making sure the kids knew what they were doing, coordinating with the DJ. So yeah. Then I went into teaching for a while and, you know, in 2010, my husband proposed to me and I planned my wedding. I fell in love with it. And that's when I knew I was like, this is what I want to do.
After your wedding, when were you like, okay, this is what I want to do, but how did you start that?
I think throughout the process of planning my wedding, I knew that this is what I wanted to do just because planning it brought out so many of those skills that I love, you know, like being organized and talking to people and planning and the whole visual and aesthetics and all that. Like I really enjoy that process. So I already knew, and I was actually feeling really sad towards the end of my planning and the wedding day. I was like, I'm not going to plan no more. Like I was really sad.
It's like the opposite of what brides usually feel.
I know everyone thought I was crazy, but I was so serious that we got married February.
Uh-huh.
in March of that same year, I had already filed for like my business license and gotten my business cards and started reaching out to other brides like, hey, let me plan your wedding. I'll do it for free. I just want to learn and practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people actually let you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I had 3 brides that let me plan their wedding. No charge. I learned so much.
Were they completely random people or?
No, they were not. I actually knew them.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's good. So kind of using your connections that you already have.
Yeah.
And asking them.
That's right.
Good to know, because a lot of the people who are listening to this show, they are interested in the events industry and, you know, interested in weddings and maybe planning. So it's good to know where you've started and into where you are now. So can you tell us a little bit about your business now and how you started your event planning business?
Yeah. Boy, it's been quite a journey. We've been through some hard times. By that, I mean like, or not charging enough for the value of your services. Mm. I can honestly say I really did start from the bottom. I mean, I started from free events to, hey, let's advertise on Craigslist and charge $200.
Oh my God.
And then my, you know, with my friend who was doing it with me at that time, it was like, okay, yeah, let's charge $200, but we have to split it. So it was like, we would make $100. And yeah, I mean, it was like, all right, $200. Oh my God, that was a lot of work. Heck no. Next time we're charging $300 and so on and so on. So we built our way up. She's gone off to do her own thing. But throughout the years, I've like every year I've raised my fees just because, you know, I've become more experienced and more knowledgeable. And so today I am at my ideal, not ideal because there's always room for growth, but, you know, I've worked really hard to the past 3 years, my business has hit 6 figures and it's been a long way, a lot of hard work, but you can absolutely do it if you work your butt off.
Yeah, seriously. And when did you decide to start growing your team? Because I noticed that, how many people are in your team right now?
So right now I have a total of 6.
Oh, okay. And when were you like, okay, let me start adding and not do everything on my own?
Yeah. So for the past 3 years, my business has been really consistent in booking at least 30 weddings. The need became from when I would have clients that really wanted to work with me, but I was already booked. And so it was like, okay, it's time to add a second team that can go and do the double booked weddings. And so we, you know, we have the ability to double book. Sometimes we have 3 weddings in a day.
So nice. And how have you found these clients, or how has these clients found you?
So at the beginning we were on Craigslist. That's when Craigslist was very in. Uh-huh. And then we moved on to WeddingWire. I'm now on The Knot. You know, honestly, it's really about building those relationships with vendors and those vendor referrals. So the majority of my bookings are from vendor referrals, those partnerships with like the venues and photographers and, you know, other planners. Sometimes, you know, they're not available and I am, or vice versa. And so just really it's those connections.
So when you first decided I'm going to open up my own business, did you ever think you'd be where you are with it today?
No. I've always worked really hard and I'm very dedicated to anything that I do. So whatever it is that I take on, I give it 100%. And I knew that going into this business, I knew it would be a lot of hard work. I have a background in business administration. So it's, I know how much work it takes to run a business and I knew I would give it my all, but I never thought that I would be where I am.
Yeah. Like in a good way?
In a good way. Yeah. Okay. In a good way. In a good way. So quickly.
That's good. You know, everybody's going to be so different with what their strengths and weaknesses are. What do you think is the hardest part for you when it comes to owning your own business?
Ooh, that's, for me, it's that life-work balance, because I love to work. And doing what I do now, like just doing at weddings and events, sometimes I don't see it as work. So sometimes I don't know when to stop. And so just balancing, like, you know, spending time with my family, working those business hours, and like putting the phone down. And that's my struggle.
And what would you say is the easiest part for you that comes supernaturally?
I think for me, there's probably a few things. One is just having that ability to really connect with people like super, super quick. I know a lot of times people think that wedding planners are like rude or whatever, but I think for me, it's like the opposite. And I feel like I can connect with people easily. And we're in the industry of like, you know, working with people. So for me, that's very easy. And then also just being able to visualize the whole entire day on the day of the wedding. Like while we're planning, I can visualize the wedding day, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. I do that all the time.
Yeah. Like the, you know, couples are like, oh, I want this, I want this, I want this. And I'm just like, oh, I could see it all coming together. Even like the energy of the wedding day, I could feel it.
It's amazing. And I love that you said the connections and relationships, because that is what you have to do if you're going to be in this industry. You can't be one of those like, oh, I don't like relationships and I don't like making connections, because that's all it's about, right?
Yeah.
Not only connections with your vendors, but connections with your clients too. How have you created relationships with your clients? Does it come really easy to you?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. So usually it's pretty easy for me, because I really make them feel and understand that this is their day. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to like take their vision and bring it to life, but also to educate them as to why and why not certain things should be, and this, this, and that. But I really focus on like, it's all about them. Mm-hmm. And so that right there is like, they absolutely love that, right? Because I'm not trying to push them away from their vision. Rather, I'm trying to take their vision and bring it to life.
What was the craziest event or wedding that you've planned? Take us through, you know, anything that happened and what you learned from it.
The weddings right now during COVID.
Definitely that.
I have two that I will never forget. But they were not my fault. Actually, in a way they were. I'm gonna take the blame. But you know, I always tell like my family and friends that the reason why my contract is that long is because I've taken everything I've learned and incorporated into my contract. And so one of them is, part of our services is to set up some of that minimal decor that our couples buy to personalize their wedding day. Today, I require my couples to give me a breakdown of everything that we're setting up and where do they want it. A few years ago, I had a bride that showed up with a U-Haul packed with stuff. I mean, it wasn't organized. It was not labeled. It was a hot mess, and I could not see the light at the end of the tunnel. It was really frustrating because I wanted it to be perfect, and she had so much stuff. I mean, I wish I should have taken a picture of that U-Haul, but I was so busy and so like freaking out that I was like, how am I gonna? Anyway, it got to the point where I had probably about 10 family members of hers, which I will never do, help me set up, because that's just how much stuff she had. And we still didn't set up almost like half of what she had. I mean, it was
And she didn't even tell you that she was going to have all of that stuff.
Nope. And even though like I did, I was like, I need your decor list. But now I require it, and it's in my contract that if you don't give me a decor list, I'm just going to do what I can.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. But I haven't had a bride like that since then. So it's all good.
Was she happy with everything at the end, or was she?
She tried to complain, and I was still nice enough to take. So her centerpieces were these feather centerpieces that, you know, kind of like the 50s style where they kind of flare out and they're tall. I still did her centerpieces and didn't charge her.
Oh my gosh.
I put those centerpieces together. So the moment she emailed me and was like, you didn't set up everything. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I did as much as I could, and I still did your centerpieces. So like, still, she didn't say anything.
Yeah. I think that's a common misconception of brides and grooms, thinking that the wedding planner, like day of coordinator and things like that, also just creates the centerpiece and designs everything.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. That doesn't happen today.
Yeah. And it's like, no, they're completely different people. You have your floral designer, you have your wedding planner. It doesn't necessarily always coincide. I know some wedding planners do that. So I think that's probably why some people get confused.
I agree. And you know, I strongly believe that even with my things, like I know sometimes my planner friends are like, why do you do it that way? And I'm like, you know what? This works for me. People do what works for them. So if some of those planners are setting up the centerpieces or doing them or whatever, and it works for them, hey, why not?
If that's what they love.
Right, exactly.
As you know, we've taken a turn to virtual events or virtual weddings, hybrid. Can you tell us how you've been working on virtual weddings or hybrid weddings? How have you pivoted? I know we hate that word. Used so many times. How have you pivoted during this time?
Yeah, I mean, it has been really hard. I think, you know, obviously for everyone, because usually my weddings are 100, 150 guests. So a lot of those couples that is still their vision, they have now postponed their wedding to next year. Right now, I only have like 10 weddings left in the year, and I'm sure some of those are still going to get moved. But interestingly, like I just booked a wedding for what I like to call a COVID wedding. 25 guests. It's on August 8th. So, you know, there's still people out there that want to get married in the middle of all this. So we have created, well, here in Vegas, like elopements are very in, and that is new to me. And so we've done a lot of like research and just created a package now, like, okay, now we're going to do elopements. And now, you know, here's how, especially like our current couples, if they still want to tie the knot this year, this is how you could do it. And we're still meeting the guidelines. And I have to say, I'm sure you have too, Amy, have learned a lot about contracts, a lot about like guidelines and health and safety. Really for me is just taking all of that and educating my couples as to how to still have that wedding if they want.
So what has these COVID weddings looked like to you?
Here's the cool part about it, because I know there's some planners out there that they're like, we should not have weddings right now. For me, it's more like we can stay and follow the guidelines and they want to get married. For me, it's like, I'm going to support you. And I know it's different for everyone. I know some people don't want to put themselves at risk. But for me, it's like, all right, so I have had to create floor plans, you know, where the tables are 6 feet apart and the ceremony chairs are based on like the guest social bubbles. So it's been a lot more time consuming just because you have to, you know, stay up to date with regulations, make sure everything is 6 feet apart and that it fits, and that caterers too, like that they know that there are certain ways that you have to serve and prep. And I just did wedding all outside. Everyone wore their mask. Because again, it's like you're coming to this wedding right in the middle of COVID. You would hope that everyone's pretty much understanding that they have to wear a mask, that they have to be 6 feet apart, and that, you know, there's going to be changes, but you can still come and share this love and witness love. And so that is what it's looking like. So the one that I have in 2 weeks, everyone will wear a mask unless they're eating or drinking. And we're going to group their chairs based on like their social bubble, 6 feet apart, all of that.
That's so nice to hear, because I know that couples have been struggling with the idea of moving it. So when I hear couples going through their wedding, whether it's a small backyard wedding or doing it hybrid with the virtual component and having other guests on Zoom, it really does make my heart happy, because I'm like, yeah, you guys have been looking forward to this day, and to be waiting a whole nother year, I know is not easy.
Yeah, it's definitely not easy. And so some of my couples actually are going to do their small ceremony this year and then celebrate big next year if possible. And they're like, can we wear our dress twice? And I'm like, why not? Like,
oh yeah, you paid for that dress. Dresses are not cheap.
Yeah, they're not cheap. So wear it, girl. Wear it.
And your shoes, everything you got.
And I'm the type, you know, that I love parties. I love to dance. I love hosting. So for me, it's like, if we could do this every day, let's do it.
Yeah, seriously. What is your favorite part of weddings when you're there on the day?
Despite all like the beautiful arrangements and the lights and all of that, for me, it's really like the energy that I can feel from the crowd, from the bride and groom, and just the whole emotional part of it is my favorite. I love like that moment when they're like, when she's walking down the aisle and they're like seeing each other for the first time, whether it's at the altar or the first look and the first dance. Like those are the little moments where I can really tell how in love they are. And that's my favorite part.
Do you ever walk into these weddings now and be like, I wish I did this for my wedding?
Oh my God. Yes. Yes, absolutely. It would be so different. I had 150 guests at my wedding. And I think this time I would be more like, let's have a smaller wedding, but like go all out, which is kind of like what's happening right now. It's like, why not have lobster tails for dinner with 25 guests or something like that, you know? But yeah, so I just did a vow renewal with my husband, and it was kind of like what I visioned, what my wedding would be if I had to do it over.
Tell us a little bit more about it. What happened?
So the idea came because the photographer that did our photos, she had posted a photo of like an older couple, probably like in their 60s. And I was like, oh my gosh, like one day I want to do my photos all over again, because I had never planned a wedding before and I didn't know the importance of like photography. Again, you live, you learn.
Oh, did you not have a photographer at your wedding?
I did, but I mean, I paid $300 for it, so.
Oh, okay.
You get what you pay for.
Yes, I know.
You get what you pay for. You really do. And I didn't like my photos at all. So I have no photos of my wedding, like on my wall or anything like that. And so she's like, well, let's do your photos all over again. Put your dress on and we'll do it again. And I was like, oh my God, you would do that? Like, that is so sweet. And then I was like, well, if we're going to do this all over again, we might as well do it right and make it more like a style shoot type of thing where it benefits you and everyone. And so we kind of took the idea of like vow renewals / style shoot and we went all out.
Oh, I love. When did you do this?
February.
Oh, cute.
Yeah. I'll have to show you some photos.
Yeah. I want to see them.
I even went on a diet.
Okay.
I went on a diet and they let me, you know, borrow a dress, which is totally different than what I wore for my wedding.
Wow, that's so cute. Mm-hmm. And your husband was all for it?
Oh, he was so down. Yeah.
Speaking of, how has your family been supportive of you and your wedding planning business? I know that you were talking about work-life balance and stuff. Do they notice when you're working too much? How is that? And how's your relationship with your family having to do this business?
You know what? It was definitely really hard at first. 4 years ago when things got a little serious, it was really hard because I was spending a lot of time like just really giving my all to my couples. Your reputation and the word spreads of like how great you are or, oh my gosh, they didn't respond. You know how that goes. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was very important to build a strong foundation for my business. I was spending a lot of time and that was really hard because it was new for them. And on top of that, it was like not much money coming in. So it was kind of like, why are you working so much? And there's not a lot of money coming in. And so there was definitely a lot of fights, a lot of, you know, missing out on like kids' activities and things like that. Today, now that I've proven them a little wrong, that all my work, hard work has paid off, they are very supportive. So if I say, hey, I'm going to hop on a call, I need you guys to be quiet, they're like, okay, mommy's on a call, we got to be quiet. Or just with anything, so supportive.
That's good. How many kids do you have and how old are they?
So I have 3 girls. I have a 20-year-old, I have a 16-year-old, and I have a 8-year-old.
Nice. Okay, so what is your favorite thing about the events or wedding industry?
I love that we are all in this industry of like love. And yes, there are so many like behind the scenes, hard times, hard moments where we're just like, why are we doing this? Like, I want to die right now. You know, I just worked 10 hours.
I feel it. My feet hurt. My back hurts.
Yes, yes. But I feel like at the end of the day, like we all have the same goal. And I mean, it's the industry of love, like what, and happy, and everyone's just celebrating. And I love that part.
That's good. I love that too. So this is another question that's a little bit more random. As you know, when I started the BIPOC in events or minorities in events page on Instagram, yes. And you reached out, would you say that there are a lot of Mexican wedding planners? How do you think being Mexican has helped you like stay creative and stay this unique event planner that you are?
Wow, that is a very deep question. I love it. Oh my goodness. Okay, so for one, I feel like just being a minority, period, we've always had to like work twice as hard. I feel like sometimes there's times where people be like, oh, you know, a Mexican wedding planner, which, you know, it's really interesting because in Mexico, there's, you know, we're so used to planning our own events and not believing in coordinators or planners. So on top of that, I feel like I have to prove, right, that I am just as good, that I do know what I'm talking about and that I do know what I'm doing. I've been very lucky, though, to just find that right circle, a support system within the industry. But I do feel like I have to work my butt off to even prove myself. And for people to know who I am, I feel like I have to go that extra mile. Definitely felt like I've always had to work a little bit more just because I am, you know, a Mexican wedding planner. I don't know. I actually want to do my research. I don't know many.
Yeah. You know, I asked you that question, but as I was asking you that question, I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know if I know a lot of Mexican wedding planners specifically. I know that there's not a lot of Filipino wedding planners. And I think, you know, similarly to Mexicans too, like Filipinos, they tend to do things themselves, right? And they're like the most money that we can save. And I have my family to help me do that. I have my friends to help me do that. So they tend to think that it's okay. They don't need a wedding planner. It's kind of interesting now knowing that there's not a lot of Filipino wedding planners or a lot of Mexican wedding planners, what we can do to kind of pave this way, because so many of us are really, really creative. I know a lot of my friends who are so creative with event planning and can do really well in this industry, but it's just so much a part of our lives that we don't even think that it could be a career.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that for me, I'm sure for you, I've had to go out of like my Mexican community to actually be successful, because not many of my Mexican couples are going to hire me to do their wedding, unless, you know, they're a little bit more of like, I've done a lot of like Mexican weddings, but I've noticed like either one is, you know, American and Mexican, or they like grew up here and they know why it's important to hire a wedding planner / coordinator.
So interesting. So what would you say is the secret sauce to your success, especially with being in the six figures? That's huge.
Hard work. I know that looks different for everyone and what hard work is, but for me is more of like just constantly learning, being flexible, being really understanding, helping others. That's very important. And I think at the end of the day, like you really have to have a strong support system and being involved. By that, I mean like on Instagram and just, you know, just constantly being there. That has, especially right now during COVID, I have been so active on like social media that I'm getting inquiries from social media, but it takes a lot of work.
We were talking about earlier, just to think about content and what we could put up there right now, especially when we're not doing weddings or events.
But you know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, Amy, I think for me, is just really showing that passion, because people can tell when you love your job and when you're just doing it just to do it, because I don't know, maybe you think it's easy money or whatever, which it's not. But I think that you can really tell when someone has a passion for it. And I think that for me, just having that passion for it takes me to the next level and learning and wanting to learn.
I really love that, like really exuding your passion and having people feel that, and not just you being like, oh, here, I'm an event planner, I'm another wedding planner. It's like, no, really seeing you passionate about it makes such a difference. And that's honestly why when I looked at your page, I was like, oh, this girl seems really cool. I want to talk to her. I want to virtually meet her, you know, because I saw your passion and I'm so passionate about events too. So I love that you said that.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot.
For the times that you felt maybe you wanted to give up or kind of just take a long break, if you've had any of those times, What would you tell yourself to keep moving forward?
Can I say bad words? You got this, bitch. Like, get up and go. Like, you can do this. But, you know, at the beginning of COVID, I did. I had a really hard time because I'm sure you feel the same way. We're wedding planners, so we're like Wonder Woman. We saved the day. I feel like I can save the day for my couples, meaning I will do whatever it takes to make sure that their day is magical. Behind the scenes, right? Like, they won't know anything that happened, but for them, it's like magical. We make it happen. And so my first wedding of the year was going to be April 11th, and I was really looking forward to it. And I was still in denial. I was like, no, we're going to have this wedding. Like, it's okay. I'm going to make it happen. And that hit me hard when I knew I couldn't do nothing about it, because usually I can problem solve. That was really hard. And so I was like, oh, so depressed. And then it was like, all right, snap out of it. Like, what are you going to do? How are you going to make it work? How are you going to still make money? And yeah, it just took me like a day. And one day I was like depressed, and then I wasn't.
I know. It's been up and down and up and down and up and down for me, for sure.
Yeah, it's been tough. But, you know, I think sometimes we don't see the return right away. But it will come. I mean, look at us. Like, you know, we're following each other on Instagram. We've connected, and you're doing amazing things. And like, here we are, like, talking. I'm sure great things will come after. You know, now I have a new friend.
I know. A new events friend, especially when it comes to events. People, I love making event friends because they know exactly what we have to go through, you know, events world and also event planning business. I feel like being an internal planner, which is what I am too, an internal event planner for a company, versus having your own business is completely different.
It's just like, oh my God, you speak the same language. But yeah, I mean, going back to your question, I'm like, I talk to myself. I'm like, you got this, girl. Like, get up and get to work. You got this. I tell myself that.
Yes. Okay. So what advice would you give to someone who is interested in opening up their own business?
I would say just do it. There's never going to be a perfect time. Connect with others that are doing it so that you can learn, and just be open to having to start from the bottom. And it's going to take hard work, but give it your all. It will definitely pay off. Like, just give it 100%, even if you're doing it for free. Like, that's when you want to prove yourself. Yeah. I think for me, it was just like giving it my all at the beginning and just building that reputation.
I love that. So at the end of my episodes, I like to cheers. So, oh, what are you drinking?
Wine at 3 p.m., 3:20.
All right. What would you like to cheers to?
Let's cheers to 2020.
Yes.
I feel like at first, you know, we were looking at it as like, what a horrible year. This year sucks. But now that I think about it, this year has taught us a lot. I hope so. It has taught me a lot, and it has pushed me to another level. So I think that if we wouldn't have experienced what we're experiencing now, we would just be so comfortable doing what we normally do. Mm-hmm.
I love that. Cheers to that.
Cheers.
Okay, party people. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really couldn't agree with Diana more about 2020. It's been up and down, y'all, like hella up and down for me and for the events industry, but it's given us the opportunity to rethink what's possible with events, celebrating, and staying connected with each other. One of my biggest takeaways from Diana is how important it is to show how passionate you are about what you believe in and what you do. Your passion is what's important. It's authentically you. So follow your passion, party people. Or if you already followed your passion, stay passionate. Express it, love it, share it. Keep that fire burning. With that said, please support my passion for events and connecting with you. I'd super appreciate it if you can rate and review my podcast and share it with your friends. Don't forget to follow me on social at CelebrateWithAmy. Until the next podcast party, sending you all the love and confetti.